Welcome to Board Games Are for Losers, a podcast where two friends with the same name talk about everything board game related and introduce new players to the hobby. And now, here they are, Darren and Darren.
Welcome to another episode of Board Games Are for Losers. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm also Darren.
And on today's episode, we are going to be doing a recap of PAX Unplugged 2018 that we attended recently. And we have a new special guest with us today. Her name is Danique. Danique, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
It's awesome to have you on. Before we get started with our PAX review, I have something I want to do. It's now, as of the date of recording, it's a few days before Christmas, and assuming we release this sometime before next Christmas.
It's possible.
I had to show you something.
So,
I'm trying to talk to the mic while I'm reaching in my bag here. We got a package.
Oh boy.
In the mail.
Uh-oh.
And it's a present. And it's, the handwriting is suspiciously like mine. But it says, to the double D's from Groupies.
Oh,
so wow. I'd like you to open it. Somebody sent us a present in the mail. I don't know how they got our home address.
I feel it's a card game.
Why would you assume it's a game?
That's true. It's got to be a game.
It's shaped kind of like a box
shaped
of
like
condoms.
A box of yes, I think it's a card game. Oh, wow.
Well, I was going to guess that it was Keyforge.
Wow.
And I have two packs of Keyforge that I was going to bring and I didn't.
It's Keyforge. Two packs of Keyforge.
Yep.
Wow.
We had talked about playing it. I don't really even know if I'm going to like it, but for $10 a pop, I figured this is going to be...
We talked about it at PAX, so yep. It's perfect that's for this awesome. Episode. And I assume the groupie that sent it was Danique.
Yes, because she just admitted she had two decks herself.
But she no longer does.
Suspiciously forgot to bring them.
So thank you. We will definitely try this out. We've been looking forward to it. And we did talk about it at PAX trying to get it, and we couldn't get it. So.
Yes, so thank you, random groupie that's probably listening.
Wait, where did you get it? Or whoever.
I heard that person found it at Barnes & Noble.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Which is becoming a great source for games.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. So, Danique, like we said, welcome to the show. So our listeners know a little background about you. Probably you're friends with our first guest, Alexis.
I am, yeah.
Who's well known for Settlers of Quigley.
Yes.
Yes, and hating Sushi Go.
Yes. So about the time that we had her on the podcast, she told us about you. She's like, I have a friend, Danique, who really likes playing games. And since then, she's told us that you're out of control.
That's very true.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the original idea when we started with Alexis was the whole theme of this being we're getting new gamers or non-gamers in and playing a game and trying to get them interested in gaming. We were going to do that with you.
Yeah.
Right.
And then by time we got around to scheduling, you out of control is the only way I can describe it.
I was a full-on loser.
You are a full-on loser.
So tell us how you got started in the gaming.
So, I mean, I've always played games and I like games, and a lot of the ones that you guys will talk to people about when they were, you know, playing when they were younger are games that I've played. And when Alexis allowed me to listen to the podcast, I got really excited because I had been going to Top Deck Games for a couple of years and had seen all the cool games they have, but really had been kind of intimidated. So the only things I had bought there were maybe some packs of what's the name of that game where you...
Magic?
Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, but Cards Against Humanity and my stepson and my husband, they love painting minis, but they didn't actually play the games, but they would go there and buy Warhammer minis.
But they didn't
in order
play.
To paint. They didn't play.
Huh. Because husband actually really dislikes
He games, really right? dislikes board games. He loves to play video games, but he does not really care for board games.
Huh. But he paints minis. That's but really
he
paints, interesting.
He likes painting. He's artsy, so...
Okay.
Yeah, so he likes that. So my stepson would buy Pokemon cards. So I've been going to Top Deck Games, very intimidated by the amount and the different types of games that they had, and I really didn't know much about them. And
right.
And at that time, they really did, I didn't see of anything that they were doing where they were teaching people to play the games. They would have demo games, but that's about it. So when I listened to your podcast, I actually got so excited. I loved the episode. I took copious notes. I'm not sure what I would say if I was was on the podcast.
So today's like a dream come true.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, it was ridiculous. And so, and in waiting to be invited onto the podcast, I just couldn't wait that long. So I just got, I just went in full force. I just started buying games. And that's actually, I think you might have referred to or I found about the Dice Tower when I was done listening to that. So I started watching a lot of the videos on the Dice Tower.
Okay.
So I would watch videos of games and see what they, you know, how they got played and if it was something that I thought I'd like. And so then I just started buying games and I started really pushing game night with my friends and introducing games to other people.
Now, has Alexis kept up with you and your gaming?
She has not.
I would never have guessed that.
But she's very happy, you know, that I'm enjoying it, and she's a good supporter.
Well, I think we need to count this as a success for the podcast.
It's amazing that even amazing. Just listen, the fact that you took notes. My own wife has never listened to the podcast. She's been on it multiple times. You, who had no idea who we were, and now that you know, probably would do differently. You listened and took notes. That's amazing.
I took notes. I'll show you guys the notes later.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So what? So how many games have you bought? You have any idea?
I've probably bought close to 40.
And we're talking like eight month period here.
But a number of them I did buy because there was a friend who had kind of a smaller shop that was they rented games and they were going out of business. So I did pick up about 10 of them from that. So about a quarter of them were from that. But yeah, I definitely bought close to 40 in 9 months.
And, wow.
Yeah. Wow. I think your collection is probably about the same size as mine right now.
That's crazy.
I'm probably not as discerning as you are.
I wouldn't. Maybe just cheap might be the word you'd use for me, but okay. Discerning will work too.
So what have been some of your favorites?
One of my favorites that I finally actually just picked up, but I played it when Alexis had borrowed it from you guys at one of our game nights, was Paperback. And I didn't have the game yet, and I was trying to get my game shop to carry it, and then I knew that I was going to be going to PAX, so I figured I'd wait and purchase it there. But that was definitely one of my favorites, and I didn't have it, and I wanted to play it, so I actually downloaded on my iPad app. So
the app is a great. No, I'm not gonna laugh at you because I have both paperback and hardback on my phone. The app implementation of that game, those games are both awesome, and as you know, that's in my top five.
Yeah.
I think it'll continue to be. That's good and
awesome.
But I do love Sagrada. That one's a good one to get other people to play and teach easily and quickly. We've played The Mind a lot. I also brought El Dorado. So I love that one. It's a longer game and it takes a little while to kind of get people to understand how to play it. But I do like the deck building mechanic. That's one of my favorites.
I was going to ask you, what's your favorite mechanic?
Deck building and dice.
Okay.
I like anything that involves dice. I'm all about it.
Have you played Clank?
Yeah. I did play Clank once, and I really enjoyed it.
Excellent.
Yes, I played that at a local gaming thing that I went to. I also stalked some local gaming.
Wow.
So.
I think she has a problem.
Well, this is exactly why we wanted you to have on this episode. We go over our experiences at PAX, because PAX for you was your first convention.
Right.
So I think it's really good to get your take on what you thought about it.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we're going to talk about PAX. And for those of you who don't know, PAX is PAX Unplugged, to be clear, is a board game convention that's held in Philadelphia. This is the second year, 2018. It was the first week of December this year. At the Philadelphia Convention Center. And the history of PAX, PAX stands for the Penny Arcade Expo. And Penny Arcade is an online webcomic that's been around for years and years and deals with video games. And typically the PAX Expo, so they have a bunch of them throughout the country and they sell out really quickly, but they focus on video games and gaming culture. So they always included some board games and role-playing games, but in 2017 they decided that they would have a separate PAX Unplugged just for board games and role-playing games. So so we went last year, and mainly because it's in Philadelphia.
Right. So this second year again, it was in Philadelphia, and I think they plan on having it there
for the near
Definitely,
future.
Hopefully, yeah.
And it's in the Pennsylvania Convention Center, which is right downtown, located right in Chinatown, and it's literally blocks away from us. We can park nearby and walk. Mm-hmm. For us, it's really convenient, and the location is great because of the area surrounding it. It has all those restaurants, has Reading Terminal, which anybody that goes knows that it's just this huge place with all these different restaurants you can get food, and there's tons of hotels around. Mm-hmm. So it's right downtown, great location for us. It's such an easy park yeah. nearby and walk in. So yeah. it's truly our local convention.
Did you, Danique, did you have any issues getting there?
No, we actually took the train in yep. one night, and then another day I had somebody, a friend, drop me off as they were going to do some other stuff in the city. So
yeah, it's so really easy access, mm-hmm. which I like about it. I mean, so the way it's set up, and this year it was a little bigger than last year, but it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, one of the big draws for us is they have a big part of the convention center set up as a vendor area where all the game publishers and game stores come in and they just sell stuff. There's games for sale, but there's also demos you can play. And I think last year and this year, we spent a good half of the day on Friday just shopping and yeah. looking around.
Right. Because where this differs from the World War Gaming Championships, which we've discussed in previous episodes, is that they actually have vendors here.
Right.
They yeah. actually, at the World War Gaming Championships, it's a small room with a couple guys. Mm. It's mostly war gaming, so it's not really of interest to us. But here, it's all the companies, mm. all the major companies. They're demoing games. They're selling games. I was actually surprised with some of the vendors, a good handful, didn't have any games to sell. They were previewing, demoing yeah. for you to pre-order or back on Kickstarter yeah. in the future.
Well, example is Keyforge. They had a booth set up there, and there was a line to demo it that I wanted to play, but I didn't want to wait in line. It was probably half an hour, 45 yeah. minutes, but they didn't have them for sale. They didn't have the decks for sale, but you could play it if you were willing to wait.
So, Danique, what was your favorite vendor that you went to? I think I have a guess, but what was your favorite vendor?
My favorite vendor? I don't know.
Or purchase that you made.
I would say that my favorite purchase, because one of the things that I was at the top of my list was actually the Broken Token set for Gloomhaven.
Wow, that's hardcore.
How much approximately did that run to you? And if your husband's listening, should we tell him to turn it off?
Right? No, he will never listen to this. because he just doesn't have any interest in gaming. But there was actually a slight discount. I think it was $75.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
$75.
$75. Yeah. It was very pricey.
Yeah. That's a big game.
It is a big game. Yeah. Now, you also, yeah. you went to the Fowler's Games.
I did.
Right,
yeah.
That's where you got paperback.
Right. And I actually, by the time I had gotten there, they were almost sold out of everything.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And by Sunday, they had almost nothing left. Yeah. Wow. And I probably, had I been able to shop a little bit more and really look at some of the games, there's probably, I think, the one that's the levels where you have to find.
So the Burgle?
Oh, Burgle Brothers. Yeah.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the other one that I probably would have bought, but at that point they were sold out.
That's a good one. I have that, only the app version.
I have the app version, yeah.
I don't even know if I want to play the regular game because there's like so much to it. It simplifies it, but plus it's co-op. You probably won't play.
I'll play. You may not, but I would.
What about you, Darren? What was kind of your highlight of the vendors?
So, I mean, I like shopping around, looking at everything. I got to demo, Spell Smashers was a game by Renegade Games that mm-hmm. it's also a word kind of, not paperback, but a word building game
with a little bit of a deck building,
a little dungeon adventure. Okay. I liked it. We waited probably 15, 20 minutes to play that, and we got to play a little bit of that. The most interesting vendor, I think, was the vendor that was selling the surprise boxes of games.
Oh, that's right.
two of my friends bought.
Really? So,
yeah.
So just to explain for everybody what this is, it was just a booth just stacked full of the same size plain white boxes.
And they're decent sized boxes.
Yeah. You probably fit about four or five games mm-hmm. in there. And what are they, $50, I think?
I think it was $50 for a box.
And you were getting games valued MSRP at like 100 or 125, but you just had no idea what you were getting. So what did your friends... Did they get anything good?
They didn't really get anything good. I can't even remember any of the games. I had never seen any of the games that they got, and I'm pretty well versed at this point. So. Yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, people were like, it was like hotcakes. By the end of the first day, I think they were gone.
Yeah. They had stacks of these boxes, and there was a line, people lining up to buy the box. So I was so fascinated. I was standing at the end of the line, because a lot of people would rip them open right away to see what they got. And like you said, there was decent games, but none that you ever really heard of.
Right.
Yeah. And so if you remember at the World Board Gaming Championships, I actually did the same thing, but it was like a small company that was doing it, and they said... Mm-hmm. And the one I got was $15. Yeah. It was just one individually wrapped gift. And they're like, listen, we pack all of these ourselves. I can tell you it's a decent game. And it was. I got Pinball Showdown. It was fine. But it looked like everybody that walked out of that with the box, like they opened I didn't recognize any of them. I didn't recognize a single game that I was watching people open up.
It was crazy how popular that was. And I heard, I think by Sunday they were out and they didn't even have any more. I think by the... half the day Saturday they were out. So
I think they actually sold them out on Saturday, but my friend only came on Sunday.
Okay,
and they bought them on Sunday.
Maybe they limited.
Yeah, I think they limit how many each day.
Okay,
so they did have them, but I do think they sold out again then late in the day on Sunday.
What a fascinating
business
model! They must have made so much money.
Crazy.
Some of the proceeds do benefit, I think, some sort of organization.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
they do good. Donate a good portion.
I feel like they ripped off a lot of people. There was one guy, I think, who was sitting behind us in Open Gaming that opened it up and was like, oh, I got two of the same game. I was like, why did you buy two of those? That's ridiculous.
Dave Ron, what was your favorite experience in the shopping area?
I liked going to Dr. Finn's. Mm-hmm. And that's where we demoed a couple games, Cosmic Run,
Regeneration,
mm-hmm. Which is a new Cosmic Run that you have.
I have the original.
You have the original, and I want to buy the new one. Mm-hmm. And then a game called Cog, which is another word game, but man, was it brutal. It was. Yeah. I liked it, but it was a tough game. But it was fun, and like Dr. Finn is like just one guy.
Yeah, he was there.
He was there.
He's showing us how to play. Yeah, it
was cool. He was like the designer in a small booth, small company, but I think he's local too.
I think he makes Biblios too, which is another favorite of mine.
Yeah. And so I thought that was really cool. And then I was able to pick up my copy of Fire in the Library, which I kickstarted from Weird Draft Games.
Right.
So they were, it's again another small company. Their booth was hopping. But I took, was able to pick up the game, get some extra goodies, and we played it that night. So I thought those were my two experiences.
All right, that's right. Yeah,
I think they sold out too, didn't they?
I think so too.
I watched the demo, and that looked very
good. I have it here. We can play it.
Perfect.
And it was like a steal, like $19 for that thing. I bought some lousy Kickstarters.
You have. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah, that's and this was like awesome production, good game for $19. Okay. It's a win.
So definitely one of the big parts of PAX is the vendor area. It's cool. You get most major companies are there, and all the hot new games are at least there to check out. The other big part of it, where we spent a lot of our time besides the vendor area, was the Open Gaming. And the Open Gaming is a huge convention hall with hundreds, if not thousands, of tables and chairs set up. And they have a game library if you want to borrow games. But we brought a bunch of our own games.
Mm-hmm.
And we met up with a bunch of other friends and just played games pretty much all Friday afternoon and all day Saturday. We didn't go Sunday. But we just spent the time in the Open Gaming. So, Danique, what did you... Being your first convention, what did you think about the Open Gaming area?
I thought it was amazing. I did not expect to see as many people that were there. And just nonstop gaming. It was awesome.
It was packed.
Yeah,
it was a massive sea of humanity, and just the way it was, it's open.
Yeah,
it's just, you can just see for hundreds of yards.
Yeah.
Of people gaming.
It was thousands and thousands of people.
Gaming. Yeah, but not overcrowded. I mean, you could sit at a table and hear each other. It wasn't to the point where you were really knocking into other people.
Yeah.
And everyone was really polite and accommodating.
I felt Saturday afternoon into the evening got a little packed. I mean, as long as you had a spot by early Saturday afternoon, which you could find one, but if you came in at like 5 o'clock on Saturday, you'd be hard pressed to get a, enough area for four people to sit down. You'd have to work at it.
Yeah, and the crowd thing was especially pertinent when we came to dinner time. Mm, yeah. I know you'll talk about that a little bit, but if like you wanted to go to dinner at 6 or 7, that's when they're closing the vendor hall at 6, so everybody was coming over to Open Gaming, and you didn't want to get up.
Yeah, because we're worried you wouldn't get a spot. We had 5 or 6 of us then by Saturday night.
Right.
So it would have been tough to give up the spot.
Yeah, and I think for Darren and I, because our history of conventions is at the World Board Gaming Championships primarily, and that Open Gaming is really nice. Not as big, obviously.
No, but...
But this was... It was hot.
Yeah.
The chairs are not comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's just hot and sweaty. And there's nothing you can do because it's a massive humanity.
Bathrooms were a mess.
Bathrooms were a mess. Yeah. So I'm kind of just used to the smaller couple thousand people in an Open Gaming. In Open Gaming at WBCs, it's like 100 or 200 people at one time.
More than that.
Or maybe 400. Yeah. But this was like 5,000.
Yeah. It was crazy.
All using the same bathroom.
And sometimes there was lines for the water fountain to refill your water.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that being said, it was great to be able to game. It just was, it was pretty, those chairs got uncomfortable by Saturday night.
And it was by like 3 minutes into it.
This is probably one of the situations where the guy to girl ratio was working in the female favor.
Because
the bathroom situation was not a problem.
Right. Because the four other women there,
there was a good amount, it was vastly swayed toward the male.
Yeah. But the ratio was way better than World Board Gaming Championships.
Right? Yes. So, yeah, okay. A lot more.
That was the Open Gaming. Let's talk about, in addition to Open Gaming, there's a lot of other events. Now, we didn't really do any of them.
Right.
Because we were just gaming. But there's... a bunch of live shows. There's like a bunch of role playing stuff. There's a bunch of there's a room where people teach you how to play new games and a whole bunch of
unpub stuff where people
publish games,
demonstrate their games. Yeah.
So, Danique, I know you did a few other things. What else did you experience while you were there?
So I did a lot of other things, actually. The first day when I got there, I actually saw the Dice Tower live do a top 10, which was actually a top 5. But but that was really exciting because I've been watching their videos, and that was really fun. And we sat almost up at the front. And so I really enjoyed that. I did take my stepson, and he kind of fell asleep a little bit. but I really enjoyed it. They wound up doing the top 5 games that should have expansions but don't. It was fun. It was really, it was funny, and it was just like I expected it to be. So that was nice. And then we went to the Geek and Sundry Dread live on Saturday, and that was really fun. So that's like a role playing kind of scenario where they use a giant Jenga, to determine if they can or can't do something in the story. So if their you know, persona in the story that they're telling wants to, try to do something that will save their character, they have to go up and push a Jenga tile and replace it in order to not fail.
That's cool. I've only played drinking Jenga, so I don't really know.
It really, that sounds like more really fun. Made me nervous because I absolutely hate Jenga, and it makes me so anxious to watch people pull Jenga tiles.
Why do you hate Jenga?
I hate it. I just hate that feeling in the pit of your stomach when you're trying to push a tile or watching someone
try to
push a tile.
The anxiety. Yeah. It's going to fall over.
I get so nervous. So
we're going to have to make you play giant outdoor Jenga.
Do not
want to. Or something, something else where something comes crashing down. And there's other games like dexterity games.
But it was really fun because a couple of the people who were part of it are, they're actors and actresses who do, smaller parts on TV or, on the radio. So they had really good presence, and they were really funny. So I really, really enjoyed that one. We also, try to paint a mini, and that was disastrous. I did it for about 5 minutes. They have an area where that you could just for free go and pick a mini, and they had paint and everything. So
was your husband disappointed in your effort?
I didn't even show him. I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I had no idea.
That was on Sunday. Okay. So you guys weren't there Sunday. Okay. So that was, yeah, that was Sunday. I did go to a LARP session.
Yes. So waiting for this.
Yes.
So, this is the only reason we had you on here. We could delete the rest. You know, we're cutting off from everything before this. The episode starts now. Go.
So that does connect. I do play D&D.
Okay.
And I actually got into D&D right around the same time as I got interested in the board gaming, because I was, my stepson changed schedules and he was with us during the week more. So I have always been interested, and I will admit that I did go with him mostly under the guise of protecting him.
Oh, right. So the Dungeons and Dragons, because you were worried about sending him into someone's
but
basement.
Really, exactly, it was for you.
Exactly. And then we went and, you know, and I was like, oh, I'll just go with you to see what this is all about. And then I was like, we're going every week, right?
And does he go or just you?
He does. He does go. Okay. But there have been a number of times where he's not gone and I go by myself.
That's awesome.
I love it now.
Interesting. Yeah, what do you like more? Board gaming or role playing?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say, because I find it easy to find other people to play D&D, and I actually find it more difficult to find people to play board games, oddly.
Hmm. Wow.
So there's an organized D&D night at my local game shop, and so I just know that every Wednesday I can go. And
that's cool.
So it's a totally different thing. I mean, playing role-playing and playing board games are two completely different things.
Yeah, because we don't do any role-playing games.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's very different. I enjoy both, and I guess it just depends on the mood I'm in, which I'd rather do, I guess, at that point in time.
So for people who don't know, what is LARPing?
So LARPing is kind of like role-playing, not sitting at a table. It's like role-playing real live. You are interacting with other people with weapons in your hands that are not going to actually hurt someone, but...
Made most famous by the movie Role Models. Have you guys ever seen that?
I don't know.
There's like whole, like, 20 minutes on LARPing.
Yes, I remember that. It's been a while.
For anyone who's not familiar with LARPing, just watch the movie Role Models.
So basically they set up a scene, and this one that I went to, and this was the only time I've ever done it, so right. It was an intro, and it was a brief, it was maybe 15-20 minutes, so they basically introduce you to the scenario that you're walking into. You know, the village has been pillaged, and there are people...
Oh my!
And there are undead that are coming to get you, and there's a person who is in charge of the undead, and he's the wizard or warlock or something, I don't know, and they come after you, and you have to protect the village with your other comrades in battle. So basically they give you foam swords and you fight the other LARPers.
So when you hit somebody,
yes.
What is this, like an honor system? Sort of like, I hit you on the head. I hit Darren on the head. He's going to be like, no, I jabbed you first.
Right.
Like, is there a lot of arguments?
No, there's no arguments. And it's very kind of, at least this scenario was kind of lax, because most people were trying it for the first time. And you're not really supposed to hit people on the head. But on the body, you get body
shots. You're disqualified.
I mean, like,
and so you're supposed to count how many times you hit them. And then once you're hit X number of times, you actually have to go and get revived. So you have to separate yourself from the group, and another person has to kind of lay hands on you in order to heal you. And they have to...
Was there a real doctor?
There was not. You and your friends can actually heal each other. So
I'd be worried about people that have never done any physical activity passing out from swinging swords. Is there a real doctor to revive the dead?
There was not. I assume that the
hospitals
that PAX had someone.
Really? There's a lot of good hospitals in Philly.
Right. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would, and I felt like I kind of wanted to get more physical in my combat. Was hoping that I could almost
hit people
in the head. Add some like cool jumps or like roundhouse kicks or something to the mix.
I got to admit, like, the idea, and you know, obviously this sounds ridiculous, but I am so fascinated. I think I just want to go watch you do it. Is that creepy?
That's not. I mean,
we might have to do this next year.
When I started telling my friends that I play D&D, that was their first thing, that they wanted to watch me play. They had no desire to play, but they wanted to see how it goes down and how it works. And there's actually along with the LARPing, there's a place that just opened up in Utah, which happens to be very, very close to where my brother lives.
Oh.
And it's called Evermore, and it is basically a role-playing adventure park.
Oh, like adult camp?
Oh my God.
It's,
like you go, you live there for a few days?
It's kind of like Disney.
Wow.
But more cultish. Like yeah. Like going into a compound that you'll never come out of.
We might have to go there too.
I'm really for the intrigued.
Podcast. For the podcast, yeah, of course. Would you, what percentage of the LARPers in there would you say were virgins? 98 or 99%?
I think it's probably 80% maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
We gotta do it next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll bring that number down a little bit.
It's low commitment. Like I said, it's 15, 20 minutes. And I definitely felt a little nervous going into it that I might be out of place. But because most of the other people had not done it before, and they did a really nice job of explaining how it worked, I felt pretty
And you worked up a sweat, right?
I did. I did. I got my watch actually read that I was moving during that point in the day, and it was surprised because...
Interesting. I mean, I was sweating in the open gaming area, but not my watch did not register that I got up at any time.
Definitely heart rate was raised.
Interesting.
And well, I think that's the cool thing about PAX is that no matter what activity you're into or type of gaming, outside of video gaming, everything, all other analog gaming is represented there. And I think it's cool. Like, people can go and try it. Like, we stuck to our thing, you know, basically. But it's cool that you got to experience, you know, a whole bunch of the stuff. Even the painting the minis. Like, that's pretty good.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I figure you would do that, too.
I don't know. Like, we got to take a lesson from Danique and start branching out.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, we might hit on this in a bit, but like I think we recognize that what we did there was almost a waste of our time the second day because we sat in an uncomfortable chair and played games. It was nice playing with Danique. Yeah. And we got, like, the one day we got a big group together, but otherwise we could just sit in your house and play and not spend the $30 for the entry fee. So, I want to do more.
Yeah,
I'm gonna LARP. That's I'm gonna hit. I'm gonna hit some nerd over the head with that sword. I'm gonna get a red card and get ejected. It's gonna be amazing. So I'm looking forward to it already.
So what? So Dayron, what was your, you know, wrapping up? What do you think was your favorite experience at PAX? We each give one, but
So, Danique, you were hanging out with that guy, Eric, who's like a D&D guy.
Yeah, he does. So, he's a DM, and he did DM a couple of the D&D
direct
sessions.
Message.
Is that what DM that's a Dungeon Master.
Oh, Dungeon Master.
Yeah, and so they lead the charge when you're playing. They are the ones who have all the stuff behind
behind the wall.
Behind the wall.
So, I mean, this is just a funny moment. I don't know if it's my best moment, but when he came up from DMing one of his events, he was so excited.
So excited.
And he was like, there was a doppelganger, and then there was another one, so that one guy attacked, he attacked three, and I'm just looking at him, I was like, I have no idea what you're saying, but you're so enthusiastic that I'm in.
He's so passionate about it.
It was great. So that just stuck in my head as like, I don't know what's happening here, but this is funny.
That was cool. And we forgot to talk about too. Another one of my favorite experiences was playing Captain Sonar.
Yeah,
all us and Eric and Howie and three of his friends.
Yeah. So just to interject a quick backstory for Danique might not know. Yeah, this, but Howie, who we've talked about a lot on, has actually never been on the podcast.
No.
I mean, he doesn't talk well. We won't let him. He bought this game on a whim like 2 years ago.
Yeah, a while ago. Yeah.
And he primarily games with just his wife and sometimes with me and Lorelai.
Yeah.
And I was like, Howie, you need eight people. But why did you buy this?
Why do you buy a game when you're never going to get eight people together?
And his collection was really small at the time. He has a lot of old games, like a lot of the classics. And he brought it to the WBCs. And we tried desperately to find eight people we couldn't that were like available at the same time. And so I think this was his crowning achievement to get this to the table. But.
Yeah. And he did.
And it was fun.
It was good. I was asking what you thought. I thought it was fun. I'd never played it before. And we had a fun time.
Yeah.
It's four against four trying to chase each other's submarines on a hidden map, basically. But it's in real time. We learned how to play it. And we played twice. And each team won once. And I thought it was a lot of fun.
It was fun. I think it was hard to play in the convention atmosphere because it was a little loud.
It was loud,
And then, because we didn't know, it was the first time playing, so sometimes, like, We made Danique the captain. Like, hey, we all read the rules. So you just sit down. You could be the captain right now. And she's like,
5 seconds later,
she did great.
She did great. I would like to try that in a quieter atmosphere.
I agree.
I'd love to play it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the first two times were even just mostly learning how to play, and it's different because it's so, I guess, asymmetrical because each part that you play is totally different. So.
It's very unique. I don't know if I would buy the game, but it was really fun to play, and I would definitely play it again. That was one of my favorite experiences. What you have any highlights, or what was your favorite thing you think there?
I think the experience as a whole was definitely a big...
Yeah. For you, just...
just getting to try everything was my favorite, because I really had been looking forward to this for quite a while. Yeah. So, I had heard about it, I think, over the summer, and so it was definitely one of those things that was a countdown on my calendar. And I would say playing... I think meeting you guys was probably the best part, because I conversed a little bit through text and through Alexis, but not ever actually met in person.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
So being able to meet you guys and playing playing the handful of games that we did.
Yeah, that's a safe answer and the correct answer.
Thank you. I practiced.
I had one. I forgot. It's not even gaming related, but you mentioned it earlier, but getting food on Saturday night... The one drawback to me, getting food there, I mean, first of all, we know all the places because we can walk to all the places for lunch at work, so I've eaten at all the places there, but a lot of places were mobbed.
Mm-hmm.
And the convention center itself, you have to leave to get food because there's really nothing there.
There was like an $8 hot dog.
Yeah, and that was basically it. Like, it was really tough to get anything there on premises, and you had to leave, and that was going to take 2 hours or whatever. So we ended up, Howie's like, well, I'm going to get food and bring it back. He called some place. He wanted some like Vietnamese hoagies or something.
Yeah.
So we called the place and they're like, we're out of bread. Like, we can't make any hoagies. And so we had wasted like 15, 20 minutes trying to figure out how we're going to get dinner. And then we're finally like, Howie, just go out, go into Chinatown and bring us something back. And if you know Howie, that's a big gamble. Like,
that is a very big gamble. This is talking about the man who bought Captain Sonar for no reason, and who also just has a history of just weird decisions.
Yes. So we sent him out just to get food, and he actually came back within like half an hour, and he's like, I went to the first place that there wasn't a line. I'm like, well, Howie, that's a bad sign, right? But he went to some... halal place in Chinatown.
Yeah.
And
why not?
Yeah. And it was a dish of like, I don't know.
Like a falafel.
Falafel and a gyro all mixed up in a bowl with chicken and some hot sauce. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it was really good. We ate it at the table while we were playing the mind. And it was awesome.
Success.
I would say probably one of the best things he's ever done.
Yeah.
So, Howie, if you're listening, congratulations.
We're very proud of you.
I did actually have a food moment when I was at Reading Terminal on Saturday. I was standing in line, and it was a really long line at Danik's. And I really wanted the
Rose Pork.
And so the person who walked up right in back of me in line was actually Sam Healy from the Dice Tower.
Oh, wow.
So I was so excited. Yeah. And I just turned around and I said, oh, hi. You know, I introduced myself and then, you know, just conversed a few minutes about the convention. And I did recommend the Roast Pork because he had, I think, something there previously. So I said to go with the Roast Pork. He said he had Broccoli Rob. He wasn't really up for the Broccoli Rob. But the Roast Pork with the provolone was good.
Yeah, when you come to Philly, you gotta go try the next report.
Yeah.
And then I said goodbye to him, and he did call me ma'am, which I felt a little weird about, because I'm pretty sure that he's older than I am.
Yeah,
I thought that was a little bit odd, but he was very polite. Yes, he was very polite.
Maybe
he
thought you were an undercover cop, because you clearly didn't look like you were supposed to be at the convention.
It's possible.
It's like, that girl looks a little normal to me. I better say that. If we've hit the end of the... Or did you have anything else, Danique, that you wanted to hit on about the convention? Because I know there's a couple other things we want to do.
No, so one thing I didn't buy, and I'd be interested to see if you guys... What you thought about this, if you saw this game before. But I was really kind of on the cusp of buying it, but I didn't. The Reckoners?
No, I've never heard of one.
Okay,
no.
So I may have to save up and... and purchase it.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
It's not inexpensive.
Add it to the list of the next 40 games.
It was either that or the Gloomhaven Broken Token organizer.
Yeah. Boom. All right. Well, I think you should get it. Don't even think about it. Just get it.
So I think overall we all had good experiences at PAX.
Yes.
It was fun. For us, just going there to play open gaming, I think, it offers a lot more. And I think to get the full experience, you got to.
Yeah, I'm gonna take notes from Denise. Yeah. And I'm definitely gonna do LARPing. I'm gonna wear like shorts and a t-shirt there to do LARPing. I'm gonna do that anyway because it's so hot. Really short shorts.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go LARPing. Hit people on the head. It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think next year I might try painting the miniature.
Excellent.
Yeah, something
I'll judge you.
Yeah.
I'm sure you. Oh, how about you guys have a mini painting contest that I'll judge face on it.
All right, so
I have two important things I need to do. First, Danique, now that you've been to PAX, now that you've met us and know that we're only semi-stupid, would you consider going to the World Board Gaming Championships with us?
I literally put it on my calendar already.
Nice.
I was like, when you guys did the podcast a couple weeks ago about it, I was like, I'm going. Even if they don't invite me, I'm just going to go.
Excellent.
You'll love it. Yeah.
So, follow-up question. You see in Darren's game room, there's picture of us sharing a bunk bed, not the same bed, but one of the posing.
Might as well been the same bed.
Posing somewhat seductively, provocatively,
creepily,
entertainingly.
Knowing that,
yes.
Would you be willing to share our condo with us? Not in the same room, of course.
Right, not sharing bunk beds.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
okay, need a bigger condo.
We're gonna need a much bigger bunk bed.
I'm assuming that I'll be the only female, so I guess.
Karen.
But she doesn't like other people, so you don't want to share a room.
Okay, so then we'll still have separate rooms.
This is amazing.
Yeah,
okay, so that was my first thing.
Right.
Okay. The second thing is, and I told Danique about this in advance, she has a bit of a talent for graphic design, art. And early on in our podcasting career, after having listened to our first episode, she designed a logo for us. After me asking her to do that.
Okay.
not of her own free will. But she never showed it to us.
Oh.
That's correct.
Because she thought it was not good.
Okay.
And I said, that's ridiculous. Let us be the judge of that. So, having not seen it before, having no idea of her talents...
Okay.
Where she's going to reveal it to us live.
This is amazing. I didn't know about this.
And I actually have three options.
Oh, okay.
That's
amazing. All right, so she's pulling it up on her computer right now.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so this is my least favorite.
Okay.
And colors, just keep in mind, colors can be all changed.
Okay. So just for the, because as Alexis learned that podcasts are radio only.
Right.
Radio, so the logo has... a meeple in the top right and the bottom left corner, board game in the top left, and losers in the bottom
right.
Nice,
I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Simple, straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is you guys here.
which one is me?
This is you.
The blue one.
Yeah. No.
More well endowed, obviously.
It's just two meeples.
I'm seeing something there.
It's like a Rorschach test.
Okay.
Really.
Yeah. I like that.
I do like this one.
Okay,
So there's lots of meeples in this one, but there's only two in color and the rest are all grayed out.
Yeah,
okay.
So.
That's cool.
And so just to describe, you have board game losers. I like the font on the top, and then there's four rows of meeples, and as Danique said, there's two in color and the rest are grayed out.
Yeah.
And they're like obviously friends because they're next to one another.
What if we were more than friends?
I would like one gray meeple in between us.
But see, now that I've seen that picture, I may need to do a version with bunk beds and meeples on the bunk beds.
I think the two meeples should just be on top of each other.
There was one like that, but I changed it.
All right.
So that's number two.
And then this one is pretty cool. I like, this is a plain one, which I didn't really do much with. This is the one that I...
Oh,
damn. Yay! Okay.
This is amazing.
So it is Board Game Losers with a hand for the L. The losers. The losers.
Of an L on the forehead.
We will obviously put that up on our wildly popular Instagram page.
Yes.
If so given permission. Dang.
That is really good. Yeah.
And I don't understand why you were hesitant to show us
this. Okay, so this one, I do have to say this one is clip art illustration, and I don't know what the licenses are on it. It's, but I could and would have to redraw.
Redo. Okay.
The hand,
okay.
Which is feasible. Yeah. Okay. And the reason I was hesitant is because when I originally did these, my husband, who has kind of stayed in the game of graphic design more than I have, kind of was not real enthused about my contribution.
So
then I suggested that he might do some, and that didn't happen. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to be like, that sucks, but I'm not going to help you or do one for you.
I definitely want a mug with that on there.
I would love to see if we could maybe get some of those meeples in there, too. I don't know if we're too busy, but that is awesome.
That's really good.
That's fantastic.
Okay. Thank you very much for bringing that.
You're
that
welcome.
Is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you are now permitted to come to the WBCs with us and stay in a bunk bed.
And we'll have you back on in a year to figure out how many games you bought.
Early prediction, I'm going with 100 in this next calendar year.
Yeah, we're going to have to see. We'll have you back on before then, for sure.
Sounds good. Yeah, Alexis, jokingly, I don't know if she said this to you guys, but she did say that after I met you guys, we might become the Triple Ds.
That's true.
That's Triple D.
I know, that's right. I didn't even think about that. Perfect.
Wow.
Might surpass the PG-13 thing, but...
That's fine. Well, clearly, we don't follow that rule very often.
So that's it for our wrap-up of PAX with two other surprises thrown in there. So
it's lots of surprises today.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Danique, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you.
And
sayonara. I still don't like that. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. For more information about the podcast, check out www.boardgamesareforlosers.com. If you have questions that you want answered on the show, or if you just want to tell us that you still think we're losers, you can email us at boardgamelosers@gmail.com. You can chat with other losers in our forums over at boardgamegeek.com by visiting guild number 3300. And don't forget to check out our amazing board game photography on Instagram by following @BoardGameLosers.